Football players meet up after school tonight, not for practice or even a team meeting, but to mourn one of their own.
And we're finding out that sports concussions are actually much more common than we realized.
He was a senior at Evergreen High School. He died today, 3 days after going down on the football field.
We just completed a study looking at 20 teams here in the state, boys football and girls soccer, and found out that in one season, 10% of the kids had a concussion in one season.
It's important to be vigilant. It's important not to be panicked.
This is the UW Medicine Pulse with Marty Reamer. Real-world stories of the discoveries being made at UW Medicine and the impact they're having on people here in the Pacific Northwest and around the world.
It's impossible to watch a contact sport, soccer, football, hockey, without bearing witness to impact. Heads smacking balls, heads charging into bodies, bodies colliding with other bodies. And at any given point during this sort of impact, you might be observing a concussion in the making. A concussion is a traumatic brain injury caused by a blow to the head, a fall, or anything that rattles the brain inside the skull. Normally, your brain is cushioned by the fluid around it and protected by your rock-hard skull. But if you're hit hard enough, your brain can crash into your skull, causing injury and, in extreme cases, death.
Overall, of the children who die from trauma, about 75% of those die because of head injuries.
That's Dr. Fred Rivara, a pediatrician and nationally recognized expert on injury prevention at Harborview Medical Center. From local tragedies to NFL lawsuits, the concern over head injuries in sports and what to do about them is everywhere, and for good reason.
We just completed a study looking at 20 teams here in the state, boys football and girls soccer, high school teams, and found out that in one season, 10% of the kids had a concussion.
In one season, 10% of these student athletes suffered concussions. What's going on here? In football, with the helmets and the pads, we could hardly wrap our players in more protective gear. So is it the equipment that's failing us?
There actually isn't good evidence that helmets can prevent concussions. They can prevent you from getting a skull fracture or a head bleed, but there's no evidence that they actually can prevent concussions. So I don't think it's an equipment issue.
Actually, there are a lot of factors at play here, according to Dr. Rivara. Among them, the rules of the game.
For example, in ice hockey, when in Canada they changed the age at which kids could body check, there was a change in the rate of concussions in kids. So rules make a difference.
One of the reasons that rule changes are being implemented is because of a remarkable young man named Zachary Lysted.
Watch my kid play the best game of his life, and I'm just so happy for him. And as he's walking back, he's shaking his head. I was like, "Zach, what's up?" And he's like, "Dad, my head hurts. It hurts really bad." Last thing he said was, "Daddy, I can't see." And then he went into like seizures or convulsions.
Zachary Lysted was a young boy from the state of Washington who really had, unfortunately, a very preventable catastrophic event. He had simply been removed when he was concussed. He wouldn't have suffered the life-threatening and lifelong challenges that he and his family face now.
That's Dr. Stan Herring, the Director of Sports, Spine, and Orthopedic Health at UW Medicine. Zach's head hit the ground while making a tackle in the first quarter of what would be his last junior high football game. Zach was sidelined for 3 plays, but by the start of the second half, he was back on the field. The magnitude of the head injury Zach suffered wouldn't reveal itself until after the game, when he collapsed on the field and was airlifted to Harborview.
When I first met Zach, he could barely talk and was in a feeding tube and in a wheelchair. The first thing he said to me was, he said, "I'm here to help people." I said, "You're here to help people? What do you mean?" He said, "I am here to make sure this never happens to anybody else."
If I can save a human life, it makes my life kind of worth living in a way.
3 years into Zach's very difficult long recovery, in May of 2009, just as he started to stand with assistance on his own 2 feet again, with support from Stan Herring and many other impassioned partners, the Lystead Law was passed.
Three main tenets. The law is only a page and a half long, and the first tenet is education. Educate athletes and parents, and also educate coaches about concussion. The second tenet is, if there's even a suspicion of a concussion, take the young athlete out at that time. And the third tenet is, no athlete should return to play or practice until cleared by a licensed healthcare provider who's knowledgeable about concussion. Pretty simple.
And those simple, consistent rules have already started making a difference.
We're very excited about the effect and the awareness which has been raised by the laws. We're very interested now in finding the most effective way, not only to educate coaches, parents, and athletes, but to change their behavior. The most effective way to make sure there's proper training and conditioning. We're very proud to honor the Lystead family, and no one should think of the law as being the last step. It's the first step.
What is it about brain injury where the symptoms don't appear immediately?
In some cases, it can take minutes to hours for the whole picture to develop. Maybe it's the way the metabolism of the brain responds to the blow. Maybe it's the fact that people are highly keyed up and active and it takes a while for things to settle down. But we do suggest that if there's any question of a concussion in a young person, just take them out. We also suggest that even if you think there's not a question, you should continue to watch that person. Make sure they're under supervision for an hour or two, just to make sure nothing develops later. So it's important to be vigilant. It's important not to be panicked, but it is important to be vigilant. And so parents and coaches, adults, need to assume the responsibility of looking for anything that might be a concussion and simply just taking the athlete out of practice or play. If they can do that part, and the healthcare system can do its part to put a qualified person in front of that young person to examine them, we will prevent tragedies.
So, with all we know and all that we don't know about concussions, there's a need for a comprehensive center that provides head injury evaluation and treatment, and that also fosters an environment to advance ongoing research. Happily, that center now exists, a one-of-a-kind facility called the Seattle Sports Concussion Program at Harborview.
So now we do have a U of M Medicine Sports Concussion Program, which is a partnership with Children's and U of M Medicine, particularly at Harborview. So we do have a clinical sports concussion program, which is very robust. The newly formed U of M Medicine Sports Health and Safety Institute, we just opened, will now be a education, advocacy, and research institute that will support, among other things, work in the concussion area as well. So we have a very robust clinical program, and then we have a complementary institute to support the non-clinical aspects.
So what does all this mean for you? If you're the parent of a student athlete, you know that today there's a heightened awareness when it comes to head injuries on the playing field. A concussion is nothing to be flip about. Thanks to the Lystead Law, a clear system of rules are now in place for how coaches, teams, and schools should respond when a student athlete takes a blow to the head. And the Lystead Law is just the beginning. In October, the American Academy of Pediatrics released new additional guidelines for youth football, including zero tolerance for illegal head-first hits, and a recommendation that teams always have an athletic trainer on the sideline. All of this focus and research is what leads Dr. Stan Herring to declare,
there's probably never been a safer time to play sports. Not just for the brain injury piece, but hydration, awareness of sickle trait issues, making sure that equipment fits. I mean, this is a very safe time, and the great majority of young people who play sports do fine.
The most important things to remember when it comes to the welfare of student athletes is, number one,
people ask me if it's too dangerous for their children to play sports, and I say, listen, you have to be careful. The number one cause of death and disability from brain injury for young people are car wrecks, bicycle accidents, skateboard accidents. I want to be careful not to chase people away from being physically active. But at the same time, they should advocate for a physical activity or sport program that is well organized and has the best practices in place.
And number two,
parents and coaches, adults, need to assume the responsibility of looking for anything that might be a concussion and simply just taking the athlete out of practice or play.
I'd like to thank Drs. Frederick Rivara and Stanley Herring for their help with this episode of UW Medicine Pulse. To find out more about the Seattle Sports Concussion Center and what you can do to keep your family safe and accident-free, visit our website, uwmedicine.org/pulse. And please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes so you can get every episode of this series delivered to your phone or tablet for free as soon as they are released. UW Medicine Pulse is produced by Tina Knoll, written by Beata Baker, with production assistance by Aaron Gervais. I'm Marty Reamer. Thanks for listening.